Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Ksuba Islam Adalat. We begin 5 lines from the top of the Amid. We're right in the middle of a sugya. We had a Mishnah in our parak where we learned that, if you are Chayiv, Malkus, you will pay Knas as well if these two obligations should converge. This seemed to be the Pshat in our Mishnah, which was Reish Lakish's approach, and he says, look, we're following the unique Shita of Rabbi Meir, who holds, yes, these two things can come together. A person can face two punishments, Malkus and Mumain. But when it comes to Misa, that sort of takes the cake. Kamli b'drabi minei, once he faces Misa, he faces death, that sort of includes everything else. There is no monetary obligations that come along with that. Oh, if that's the case, then what about the halacha that we learned elsewhere? There was this fellow who stole an animal, and he did tevicha as well, which means he did a shechita on that very animal. The halacha is he must pay back not just the value of the animal, but 4 or 5 times as much. Dalid vehe, depending on what type of animal it is. Is shoyer an ox? He must pay back 4 times as much. If it's just a sheep, 5 times as much. Now, the Braisa tells us that even if this fellow stole the animal and then did the shechita on Shabbos, which is a malacha, or did the shechita for the sake of Avodah Zarah, which is something which brings about the death penalty, or he does it on a shor hanisgal, a shor which was condemned to death. It was a violent shor who gored repetitively, in which case he was deemed a shor hanisgal, slated for skila, slated for death, in which case the owner has nothing from it. He can't have any anah from it. Nevertheless, in all these cases, whether it's Shabbos, Avodah Zarah, or shor hanisgal, if the ganav stole and shechted that animal, he must pay 4 or 5 times as much. Dalad v'hei is applicable in this case. That is shitas Rabbi Meir. Chachamim disagree. They say no. In all these cases, he's potter from dalad v'hei. The Gemara explained that although, even according to Rabbi Meir, when there's misa, there's nothing else that comes along with it. In this case, there's misa. Malachan Shabbos. Avodah Zarah. Still, he's chayiv. And the question was why? We're speaking b'teveach al yidei acher. What happened was, he asked somebody to do it for him, a shliach. So Reuben asked, Reuben the ganav asked Shimon to do the shechita for him. He decided to do it on Shabbos, or it was for Avodah Zarah. Even if Reuben asked him to do it on Shabbos or for Avodah Zarah, it doesn't matter. Reuben does not get misa. So since Reuben does not get misa, the monetary obligation kicks in. He must pay dalad v'hei on account of the shechita done to the shor that he stole. So that will explain why Reuben is chayiv, even though it was a shechita on Shabbos, even though it was a shechita l'avodah zarah. So why do the chachamim disagree? Why is there no dalad v'hei according to chachamim? The answer is the following shita is Reb Shimon, a unique shita. He holds that what is shechita? Shechita is meant to generate heter on the basar. It's meant to make the basar permissible. But a shechita that does not accomplish that goal, that objective is not attained. It's a shechita she'ena ru'uya. It's not called a shechita. Shechita on Shabbos. It's not ru'uya. Shechita l'avodah zarah is not ru'uya. Shechita v'shor hanisgal is not ru'uya. So the Gemara asked on that. I understand. Shechitel of a dezara. Of course it's not ru'uya. The basar is now asr ba'achil. A shechitel of a shor hanisgal. There as well. The basar is asr ba'achil. And even ba'hana. Right? So since the avodah and the shor hanisgal asr ba'hana, of course the shechitel hasn't really accomplished much. We understand why it's a shechitel she'ein ru'uya. But what about shechitel on Shabbos? Sure, it's a malacha, but it's still mutar ba'achila. Answer is, and here comes the Gemara, 5 lines from the top of the Amud. Sava lo k'rab Yechanan ha-sandor. We are following this unique shita, the Sanya, as we will find in the following braisa, that he holds that any type of thing created, fashioned, cooked, shechted on Shabbos, if it's done by way of melacha, it is absolutely asr ba'achila. That explains why shechet on Shabbos is not chayiv in dalad v'hei, because it's a shechita she'ena ru'ya, it hasn't really accomplished basar heter. The sanya, mevashal b'Shabbos, if one cooks on Shabbos, if it was b'shoigig, accidentally, yoichal, and even the fellow who cooked the food can actually eat it, b'mezid lo yoichal, if he did it purposely, he can't eat it. It's a knas, we penalize him. Don't enjoy the fruit of your malach. Divi Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir takes a lenient approach. Rabbi Yehuda takes it a step higher. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'shoigig, yoichal matzir Shabbos. If he did it b'shoigig, don't eat it today, wait till matzir Shabbos. B'mezid lo yoichal oylamis. But if he did it purposely, he can't eat it forever. It's a knas, and it seems from the Mefarshim that even others can't eat it that Shabbos because they can't have hanoah from a mass of Shabbos. They can't enjoy the melacha that was done on Shabbos. They have to wait until Metzor Shabbos, and then they could eat it. But that's the other people. He himself, b'mezid lo yechal olamis, he shouldn't be eating it ever. Oh, here comes the third cheetah. That's what we're looking for. Rabbi Yochanan Hasandor Omer. B'shoigig, ye'ochel l'moitzoy Shabbos. If he did a b'shoigig, then the item that was cooked can be eaten after Shabbos. L'achirim v'loy loy. Others can have it, but not him. B'mezid, if it was done purposely, lo ye'ochel, Rashi says, we put the nekuda as a tzeret, lo ye'ochel oylamis. The item can never be consumed. Loy loy, not by the perpetrator himself, v'loy l'achirim, nor to others. You can sell it to a guy, you can have a knob, but you can't actually eat it. My time with Rabbi Yochanan Santo. Why? As Rabbi Chiya taught at the entranceway of the house of the Nasa. The Pasuk says, safeguard the Shabbos ki kodesh lochem, because it's holy for you. Shabbos is connected to kodesh, to hegdish, to something which was dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash. Ma kodesh osur ba'achila, just as kodesh may not be eaten, Av Masa Shabbos, Asurim Ba'achila, likewise, something which was created, fashioned, cooked on Shabbos, may not be consumed. That is the Makar of Rabbi Yochanan Sandor, and that answers our question. If one steals an animal and shechts it on Shabbos, according to Chacham, there's no Dalad V'Heh, because it's a Shechita She'en Ruya. We connect Masa Shabbos to Kachem. So it's Asur Ba'achila. What about Bahano? Can you have benefit from it? Yes. Why? Let's connect it to kachem completely. Just as kachem is completely usher, it's off limits. You may not benefit from kachem. Af maser Shabbos usher b'hanoa. So ma kodesh usher b'hanoa, af maser Shabbos usher b'hanoa. Just as kodesh is usher b'hanoa, likewise Shabbos as well. How could you sell it? Tamad loymar, the pasuk adds the word lochem, ki kodesh lochem, shalochem yehei. In some fashion, it belongs to you, which means you can at least enjoy the benefits of this item. Yochel afilu b'shoigig. Perhaps this restriction applies even if the melacha was done b'shoigig. Tamad loymar, the pasuk continues with the words mechalaleo moisumos. If one desecrates the Shabbos, he faces the death penalty. We learn from here that the halacha only applies b'mezid. Amarti lacha. It applies only b'mezid v'loy b'shoigig, not if it was done accidentally. And that is shitas Rabbi Yochanan ben Asandar. That explains the halacha, why tovach u'macha b'Shabbos is potter, the item is asr ba'achila, and therefore it's not a shechita which accomplishes much. It's not halachically regarded as a proper shechita, in which case it doesn't generate the chiv of paying 4 or 5 times as much. Now, Rabbi Yochanan Sandor tells us that the ma'as is Shabbos, is asr ba'achila. Is that min ha'toyro or min ha'rabbanan? Pligibo rav achav ravina. It's a machlekes amiroyim. Chad amar maaser Shabbos d'oraisa. One of these two amiroyim maintain that according to Rabbi Yochanan and Sandor, something cooked on Shabbos is also min ha'Torah, based on the pasuk that we just had. And that explains the halacha and the Mishnah there. Why tavach macha b'Shabbos? Why tavach b'Shabbos is potter from knas of dal v'hei? Because the basar is asur ba'achila min ha'Torah. V'chad amar d'rabbanan. But the other amiroyim maintains that even according to Rabbi Yochanan and Sandor, there's no isur min ha'Torah. Even if something was cooked or shechted on Shabbos, it's also midrabbanan. So man do amar d'oraisa, the shita that maintains that it's an issa d'oraisa, k'damaran, based on the, you know, the pasuk that we just mentioned. Ma'an da'omar de'rabbanan. But the other shita who maintains that it's only issa de'rabbanan, what happened to the pasuk that we just had? How does he learn the pasuk? Amakra. Let's take a closer look at the pasuk. Pasuk says, kodesh he. Right? Safeguard the Shabbos, because Shabbos is kodesh he. The added word he is coming to tell you he kodesh. Shabbos is kodesh. Ve'en ma'aseh, kodesh, as opposed to something created on fashion and formed on Shabbos. It's not kodesh, and it's not asur b'achil. Now comes a kasha. Ulaman de'omar de'rabbanan. So if you say the isser is only de'rabbanan, it's not based on a pasuk. My time, my de'rabbanan de'patri. How do we explain the shittas rabbanan, who argue or mir? They hold that if a ganav does the shchita on Shabbos, he is potter from knas of dalad vehei. We had thought that's because the basar is asur ba'achil and the shchita hasn't accomplished much. So he's potter from dalad vehei minat Torah. It's an isser minat Torah, so he's potter minat Torah. But if it's only isser rabbanan but minat Torah, something shecht on a Shabbos is mutter. So technically it's a shchita which is ru'uya, a shchita which had achieved its goal, had created permissible basar. So why wouldn't he pay the knas of dalad vehei on account of that tvicha? You're right, 100% right. Kikapatri rabbanon asha'ara. You're right, when the rabbanon say the ganav is potter on account of his tvicha. We had three cases in the Braisa. We had Shabbos, Avodah Zarah, and Sheher Niskel. They were referring to Avodah Zarah and Sheher Niskel. But tvicha on Shabbos certainly would trigger the chiv of dalad vehei. Now let's go back to Rav Meir, who maintains that in all three cases, shchita on Shabbos, shchita lava dezor, shchita v'shara niskel, the ganav will be chayev dalad vehei on account of that shchita. Now let's remember, the din of toveach is only when it follows a ganav, meaning you steal Reuven's cow and you shecht it, fine. Since you stole and shechted the other fellow's cow, so it sort of exasperates the offense and makes him liable to 4 or 5 repayments. But suppose the animal no longer belongs to its former owner. He lost all interest in it. He has no benefit from it. In which case, he's not really the owner anymore. So if you can find that at the point of tvicha, it's no longer relating to its owner, then I haven't really shechted the other fellow's cow. There's no chiv of dalad vehei. Here comes a kash. If this gun of shechts in a matter where he's serving the avodah zarah, which makes the animal entirely aser, given the shechet beipurta, as soon as he starts the shechita, even a bit, even the, you know, half a simon, half of, you know, the kana or the veshet, itzerle, the animal becomes aser. He has worshipped avodah zarah. And what happens when something becomes aser? You lose all ownership. What's the point of ownership? What defines possession? You have access. You have use. You have benefit. If it's something is asur b'hana, any benefit from this item is forbidden, then you no longer have any access to it. Ownership is pretty much null and void. So once the ganav starts the shchita of a desire, it becomes asur to its former owner. Either kikatabach, when he continues the shchita to the end of the shchita, lav demari katabach. He's no longer doing shchita on its owner's cow. The owner no longer has anything from it. He no longer relates to it financially. So why is the ganav at all chayev? On account of that mass of shchita, which was done on a cow which was no longer technically belonging to that fellow. Amar Rava was speaking about a special case. Typically, you're right. But here, we're speaking ba'omer at the ganav declares. Bigmar zvicha hu oivda. He says, look, I'm worshipping the avodah zarah at the very last moment of the shchita. So until we get to the end, until we properly perform the shchita, it's not considered avodah zarah. I'm not really interested in doing it, worshipping until then. So now, as soon as he finishes the shchita, he's doing tvicha on the owner's cow and he's doing avodah zarah at the very same moment, and therefore he's chayiv for dalad vehei. The same kasha on the Sheher Niskel. This violent Sheher was a habitual gorer. Bezdin made a Gemar Din, issued a verdict, condemned him to Misa. Here again, Lavdi Deyu. Somebody steals a Sheher Niskel and does Tzvicha. He's doing Shchita on an ownerless cow. It's like Hefker. Since it's been condemned, Lemisa, Leskila, it no longer is Mutar Bahanoah. Its former owner sort of lost all rights to his animal. So when the other fellow does Shechita, he's doing it on an ownerless animal. Lav didayu de katavach. He's not doing tzvich on the owner's animal. It's hefker, so to speak. It's asur ba'anah. Amar Rabba, once again, Rabba comes and says, look, this is the Girsa Amar Rabba. He says, look, we're speaking about a very unique case. There are several factors here that when they sort of combine together, you can work out the case. Here we go. Hacha b'mayaskinu, we're speaking about a very special case. The ganav did not steal it from its owner's possession. There was an owner, and there was a shomer. Reuven owned the cow, but then gave it over to Shimon, the shomer, to keep an eye over it. And then Levi stole it from Shimon. Kigon shemasra l'shomer. Reuven handed his animal to the shomer. V'hizik beis shomer, while in possession of Shimon, he committed those violent acts. He gored. V'nigmar dinei beveis shomer, and while he was still in the possession of the shomer, which is Shimon, Bezdin issued the gmar din. This shor goes l'misa. Now, at this point, Shimon still has some financial interest in this shor. You know why? Although he can't really benefit from it, but let's say, suppose he chooses to return the shor to Reuven in its current state. The halacha is that he's potter. Look, he gave me a shor. Here it is. True, I should have watched it a bit better. I'm responsible for all that he did. But the fact is, you gave me the animal. Here it is. So at that point, Shimon has some sort of financial interest in this animal. He wants to return it to Reuven and become exempt from his chiyuv. At this point, Levi stole it. V'gan v'gan of Meis Shemer. Levi stole it from Shimon's home and did the tvicha. Now, for Rameir says that Levi is chayiv dalad v'hei on account of that tvicha. So look at Rabbi Yaakov. On the one hand, Rameir will follow Shitas Rabbi Yaakov. We'll see in a moment. V'sav look at Rabbi Shimon, and likewise, he will hold like Rabbi Shimon. So when all these pieces come together, the halacha will work. Explains the Gemara. Sav look at Rabbi Yaakov. We're going to go with Rabbi Yaakov. The Amar af misha nigmar dinoi. Even if the shor was condemned. Lemisa. Should the shomer choose to return this very animal in his current state on the way to Misa, but he takes it and gives it back to Reuven, he chapta right, muchsar. He was yotzei his chiyuv. Reuven has no claim on Shimon. Why don't you give me back an animal which is worthless? Too bad. You gave me an animal, I return the animal. So Shimon has some sort of financial gain. He has some benefit from holding on to this animal. But then Levi stole it. V'savel k'Rab Shimon, and we're following Rab Shimon as well. What did Rab Shimon say? The Amar Dovar HaGoyrei LeMomen. If something brings about some financial gain, so even though the item itself is worthless, such as this Sher Haniskel, worthless as can be, but it brings about financial gain in a roundabout way. Shimon has benefit from this animal. Should he return the animal to Reuven? He's Potter. Should he not be able to return the animal? For whatever reason, because it was stolen from him, then that triggers a chiyuv between Shimon to Reuven. So the fact that I'm holding on to the animal makes me potter. Mummy and dummy, we treat it as though it has value. So now when Levi stole that animal from Shimon, look, you stole my animal. You made me lose money. You took my animal, you shechted it. So we treat it as though it still belongs to Shimon, even though it's asur b'ano, but Shimon has some financial interest in this animal. So now Levi is a full-fledged ganav, and tvicha, which he did on that animal, is considered a tvicha on an owner's animal, which triggers the din of the knas of dalad vehei. Okay, let's just quickly recap the Amar Gemara until here, and then we'll go on to the next approach in this halacha. We had a braisa, one stole an animal, and then was tveyach, which means he was sheikh of the animal, that exasperates the gneva. That quadruples his chiv. He goes up to four times, five times as much, which he must repay to the owner. What if he did it on Shabbos? He did it for Avodah Zarah, or he did it on Ishar Niskel, according to Rameir. He will pay the Dalad Vehei. According to Chachamim, he's potter from Da'al Dvehe. Why? So according to Rav Meir, even though there's a Chiv Misa on Shabbos, or Lavei Dezara, a Chiv Misa, was speaking that he did it Aydei Achar through a Shliach, in which case, he never did the Isser, so he has to pay. Now we had another question regarding the Aved Azar and the Sharon Iskel, they're worthless. We do more just provided the answer for that. We worked out a method where the Shechita took place while it was still worth something. Chachamim maintain that by Aved Azar and Sharon Iskel is potter because the Shechita is an inner ru'iyah. It's not accomplishing heter on the Basar, which is the objective of Shechita. Regarding Shabbos, that turns out to be an interesting machlekes. Initially, the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yechiel ben Hasandler, the Maaseh Shabbos, the Melechas Shabbos is Asur. That would explain the Chachamim pattering, exempting this fellow from Da'al Dvehe, because a Shechita on Shabbos does not accomplish Heter on the Basar. It's Asur Ba'achila. But there's another Shechita which learned Rabbi Yechiel ben Hasandler differently. That's only the Sidur Rabbanim of Ben HaTorah. The animal which was Shechter on Shabbos remains Mutter, in which case the Gemara says that according to Chachamim, the Shechita on Shabbos would indeed generate the Chiv of Dalet Vehei, would be considered a proper Tzvicha, which obligates the Ganav in Dalet Vehei. Continues the Gemara, Rabba Omar, let's go back to the original question. We had a Braisa. This fellow stole an animal and was Teveyach on Shabbos, Aved Zorah. He's getting Misa for doing these things. How could you obligate a payment of Dalet Vehei? Come libi d'rabbi minei. You get the more severe punishment, which sort of absolves you of the imamim. So the Gemara says, well, we're speaking that he asked somebody to do it for him, right? Rabba Amar no. Let's go back to the simple case. Lo'ilam mutaveich adei atzmei. We're speaking that the Ganav did the Shechita on his own. He didn't ask anybody to do it for him. So why is he chayef to pay? He's getting Misa for doing a malach on Shabbos. He's getting Misa for doing Avodah Zarah. And the truth is, Rav Meir loikim mishalim islei. Even Rav Meir, who says that when a Chiv Malkus and a Chiv Mammon converge, he gets double punishment. But Mesu mishalim lesley. If it's Misa that he's facing, of course that absolves him of anything else. Kam libi d'rabbi minei. So why is he chayv to pay in this case? V'shani hani. And these cases are different. Cases of a ganav doing a shechita on a stolen animal is very different. D'chidesh u'd'chidesh u'teir b'knas. Remember, the fact that he's paying 4 or 5 times as much, that's not your basic monetary obligation. That's a knas, that's a penalty applied by the Torah. It's a chiddush. It's something out of the ordinary that the Torah introduced with this knas. And therefore, we can very well understand that payment of knas does not have to conform to standard guidelines. And therefore, afagav the miktul, even if this fellow is going to be put to death on account of the malach on Shabbos, on account of the avodah zarah that he's doing through the shechita, still mashalmi has to pay up. That's a chiddush of Rabbah. We had a kasha. How does he get Misa and Tashlumen? Answer is, it's not Tashlumen, it's Knas. Misa can go together with Knas. Two different realms, so to speak. One is a more direct Einish, one is a Knas, an entirely different type of obligation. And therefore, it can come together. And V'az the Rabba L'tami, and in fact, Rabba is very consistent with what he himself told us elsewhere. This chiddush that a chiv knas is compatible with a chiv misa. The Amar Rabba tells us, Haya gni gonavloi, this fellow had in his possession a stolen goat, which he stole, during the weekday, on a Wednesday. V'tavche b'Shabbos, and he did the shechita on Shabbos itself, chayev. He has to pay 5 times as much. Why? Because for the Shechita, even though it took place on Shabbos, that is Chayiv, as we just explained, because Knas is compatible with Misa. And he's Chayiv for the actual item itself too, what we call the Keren, the principle, because that resulted from the the Masa Geneva, which took place during the week. So even though that's not knas, that's just basic obligation, you took something, you have to repay it. Right? You assume responsibility for the item that you stole. That chiyuv that comes to a ganav, that happened during the weekdays. So that's certainly an established chiyuv. No conflict there. So he's chayv for that basic obligation. And coming to Shabbos, he's already chayv sort of the keren, the principle. Now, when he does tvicha on Shabbos itself, it adds, it supplements itself over the chiyuv keren and rises to 4 to 5 times as much. Because the extra payments on account of the tvicha, again, that's knas. And knas is compatible with misa. So even if that was triggered by a melacha, that certainly would arrive. Shekvar neschay b'gneva. Because keep in mind that in this case, the gneva took place on Wednesday. So the chiv on account of the actual masa gneva took place way before Shabbos. Koedim shiyavai odeis or Shabbos. So the ikar chiv took place during the weekday. On Shabbos, he got another couple of chiyuvim because of the knas due to the tvicha on Shabbos. But gana v'tavach v'Shabbos. The entire episode took place on Shabbos, from beginning to end. He stole and did the shechita on Shabbos. In this case, of course, he's potter. Sure, the tzvicha can theoretically generate a chiyuv knas even on Shabbos, but we never got to that point. At first, you need a basic chiyuv of gneva, and then you can add, you know, the 4 and 5 on top of that, or the 3 or 4 on top of that. And here, the gneva took place on Shabbos, and chiyuv on account of gneva, the basic chiyuv to repay what you stole, the basic chiyuv to assume responsibility for an item that one steals, that's not knas, that's mammon, that's basic, you know, financial chiyuv. And if that takes place on Shabbos, and takes place synonymous with a masa malacha, such as we learned a couple of days ago, he drags the item out of the other owner's, you know, backyard into the street, so he actually stole by transferring, you know, territories, by transferring Rishuyos at the same moment that he did Haitzah, right? He carried into the street. So at that moment, since the Chiv Geneva occurs together with a Chiv Misa due to the Melach on Shabbos, he's potter from Geneva. So even if he actually shechts it on Shabbos, he's entirely potter. Potter Shim and Geneva, because if you can't get to first base, you don't have a single chiyuv to repay on account of the geneva, because again, the geneva took place together with a masa malacha. Kamli b'durabim b'nei, it's potter from the chiyuv moment. So you can't get the second or third base. Ain't tvicha v'ain mechira, you can't add more chiyuvim. The Torah says you pay 4 or 5. The Torah doesn't say you pay 3 or 4. There's no, never got to number one, you can't get past that. So this idea of Rava is based on the previously mentioned concept that, sure, when it comes to the basic chiyuv moment, that's incompatible with Misa. If there's Misa, there's no Mammon. But if there is a Knas to work with, that can kick in even if it occurs simultaneously with a Chiv Misa. Vama Rava, here comes another example of the same halacha. This fellow had a stolen goat, which he stole, you know, during the day. Then, he tunneled into a homeowner's home, you know, under the wall, and the pasuk says a fellow who's tunneling at the person's house is sort of availing himself to death. The owner could just kill him on the spot because he's being threatened by the thief, right? So the Gemara here treats it as though the ganav who is bob machteros, who's now tunneling into a home, is actually chayav misa. The fact that the Torah allows the homeowner to kill him is considered as though the ganav sneaking his way into the home is chayav misa. So again, we're speaking that he had a goat stolen beforehand, v'tavcha b'machteros, and as he's tunneling into this guy's house, he decides right then and there, no better time, and to do the shechita on the gdi. Okay, or maybe a more simple case. He was in the person's, you know, property, stole a gdi, and then tunneled his way out with the gdi. Okay, decided to do the shechita underground.
chayev.
He's chayev dalad v'hei. You know why? It's based on the same idea as we mentioned earlier with the weekday and Shabbos. Shekvar is chayev b'gneiva koidem. Sheyavoy l'di isur machteres. Because his obligation, his basic obligation based on the fact that he stole, happened before he came into the machteres. Right? So he's chayev a single repayment before he starts tunneling. In the tunnel, he's chayev misa, true, but the shechita done there creates the additional chiyuvim of dalad v'hei, which are knas, and can happen in tandem with iser chiyuv misa. But let's say he did the entire thing inside the tunnel. Gana v'tavach b'machteres. He stole and did the shechita inside the tunnel, where he's chayev misa potter. He's totally potter, based on the same idea as we mentioned earlier, because there's no starting point. Shemein gneva, because if there's no chiyuv gneva, because it occurred during the chiyuv misa, ain't tvichav and mechira, there's no chiyuv on account of tvichav shechita, or on account of mechira, it's another form of dalad v'hei, if he actually sells the animal, it's chayev dalad v'hei. So in any case, if there's no starting point, there's no gneva, there's nothing else. Now, Rabbi mentioned two similar cases. Is there any chiddush in each one over the other one? Why do you have to mention two variations of the same concept? Utsricha both are needed, the Yeshmin and Shabbos. If only the case of Shabbos, I would say, Mishum de Yisura, Yisur Oilam. You know why? The Chiv Misa, on account of a Malacha on Shabbos, exempts him from Mammon. That's because the Misa of Shabbos is an ongoing Chiv. A person was Machal Shabbos today. You know, the Bezdin can kill him without any time limitations. It doesn't expire. Anytime Edom get up and testify against him in Bezdin, he'll be put to death. So it's not an Issa which expires. So maybe that's more severe and that has the ability to exempt him from mumming that occurs at the same time. Aval machteres, but tunneling, that's not something that has duration. The Issa show, it's only sort of a limited time type of chiyuv. While he's in the tunnel, he can kill him, but once he's out of the tunnel, it expires. Emele, perhaps it doesn't have the same power. It can't really exempt from chiyuv mamon. That's why we mentioned this case as well. Yes, it does. V'yashmin and machteres. If we only speak about machteres, I would say, yeah, machteres. That's a powerful chiyuv mishum de machtartoi. Because his act of tunneling, zohi yasra asa, it is tantamount to having been warned against doing this, which basically means you don't have to warn him ahead of time. If the homeowner notices his fellow tunneling in, boom, he doesn't have to warn him. So it's a very severe and strict and powerful type of chiyuv misa. So maybe it has the ability to override the mamon aval Shabbos debaya asra. But when it comes to Isra Shabbos, Shabbos is no different than any other chiyuv in the Torah. You have to warn him before the fact. So maybe it has that sort of deficiency and can't really overshadow the chiyuv mamon. Emor lo, maybe doesn't have that ability. Tzricha, that's why he mentions both cases. Chiyuv misa is chiyuv misa is chiyuv misa. Amar Papa, here comes almost a third variation of this concept. So we had the shechita on Shabbos, shechita in the machteres. Here comes a third type of case. Hoysa para gnuva loy. So this fellow was in possession of a para that he stole. So he stole the cow, v'tavcha b'Shabbos, and he actually did the tvicha on Shabbos chayev. He must pay dalad v'hei. Why? The same idea. Shekvar nischayev b'gneifa, koidem sheyavoy l'isur Shabbos, because he was already chayev on account of the actual act of stealing way before he did the isur Shabbos. So he's chayev to repay once on account of the gneiva. Then comes Shabbos. He does the tvicha on Shabbos. The additional repayments are knas, and that could apply even when done in tandem with the Isra Malacha, with the Isra Mis. But ha'isa para shu'ulaloi v'tavcha b'Shabbos. Let's say he had a para which was shu'ulaloi. Right? Big difference. It wasn't stolen. It was loaned to him. So he loaned a para. He's not a ganav. Perfectly legal. So he was in possession of this para. Legitimate possession of his para. It was loaned to him. V'tavcha b'Shabbos. Come Shabbos. He sees he's short of meat. Does the shechita on the other fellow's para. At the point of shechita, he's actually stealing. It just turned from a loaned animal to a stolen animal. Boom, at that split second. So he's potter. He's completely potter. Why? Because The stealing, the gneva was initiated on Shabbos, together with a chiyuv misa, right? Because It was the tzvicha, it was the shechita that created the geneva. So now it never got off the ground because the chiyuv misa overshadows any possible chiyuv moment. So it's pretty much the same idea as the other halachas, just another variation. Amar le Rav Acha, Brei de Rav, le Rav Ashi, have a kasha. What's the point of this most recent halacha of Rav Papa? Rav Papa para aslashmina? Was he just trying to tell us something about a para? Meaning, why would this be any different than the previous cases mentioned by Rabbah? They're all based on the same underlying principles. What's the point of mentioning the para halacha? Amalesi tells them there is some sort of additional twist here. Rav Papa Shu'ula also lashmina. He was informing us something very unique, something very profound. This fellow had borrowed the par. It was already in his possession. When a fellow borrows, he assumes full responsibility for anything that might happen with this item, even ba'onus, even accidentally. Right? So maybe I would say, salka da dechamina, there would be room to speculate that hoyel va'omar Rapap, since Rapap himself told us, mishas mishicha, at the moment where the borrower pulls the animal into his, towards him, into his property, mishas mishicha hu dechayiv leibunim zeneseo, at that moment, he has to look after the mezoinus, he has to look after the well-being of the animal. His chayv to feed the animal from that moment. It's considered sort of under his care and his possession. Hachanami, so perhaps here as well when it comes to obligations. Mishas she'ela is chayv bein se'a. Perhaps I would say that the chayv of oinus, remember the chayv of oinus means that of a shoyel who took responsibility, absolute responsibility for this animal, for this item. And this item goes missing, goes lost, gets broken, stolen, anything, even an oinus. Something totally beyond his control. The shomer, the shoyel, right? The borrower is responsible. He has to repay. So perhaps that chiv really got triggered from that first moment when he took possession of the animal. Meaning, if something occurs later on, some oinus comes and damages this animal, he has to pay. But is it a sort of a chiv triggered now going forward, or is it sort of retroactive? Perhaps I would say it's retroactive. I took the animal into my possession on Sunday. I'm using it. Until Tuesday, Wednesday, it dies, oinus. I have to pay. Why am I paying? Perhaps, we could say, you're paying not because of what happened now, but rather because of what happened on Sunday. What happened on Sunday? You took it into your possession. You spread your wings over it. You committed to look after it. You took full responsibility on Sunday. So perhaps the chiyuv is really retroactive. Which basically means, already from Sunday, it was totally in my possession. In which case, in our story, when he borrowed it during the weekdays, but did the tvicha on Shabbos, since the animal was now damaged, and the shoyel has to pay, maybe this chiv to pay was triggered really on Sunday, retroactively from Sunday. And since Sunday is a weekday, so the chiv is not unrelated to Shabbos, unrelated to Malacha, unrelated to Misa. The basic chiyuv to repay the actual animal is triggered from Sunday. And therefore, he should pay Dal Vehe, because the extra payment on account of the Tvicha on Shabbos, that's legal because it's a Knas. And Knas is compatible with Misa. So perhaps I would say so, Kamashmon, the Chiddush of Papa is no. We don't say that. If something occurs on Shabbos, the animal dies on Shabbos, or the fellow stole and did the shechita on Shabbos. Whatever the circumstance, it doesn't matter what happened. If the oinus occurs on Shabbos, the chiv arrives right now. This is now Shabbos. And the Masa Gneva is in tandem with the Malacha, which creates Misa. Well, Misa overshadows any Chiyuv. Come live with the Rabbim, so he's Potter. Amar Rava. Here comes another interesting case. Hiniach lehen avien parashu'ula. So their father passed away and left behind a loan, a borrowed cow. So unbeknown to them, so it was a borrowed cow, right? Mishtamshin bo kol yimei she'losa. So, you know, usage privileges carries over to their children. They can continue using it until, you know, the end of the term. Mesa. Suppose something happens with the animal. The animal dies. Ein chayavin ba'itza. They don't have to pay for this accident. Why? We never took responsibility. Our father did. We're not responsible. What about kisvurin shalaviyim hi? They're thinking it's their father's para. He never told them otherwise. V'tavchua v'achlu. And they did shchita on the animal. And they ate it, thinking that it's Yerusha from their father. It turns out that it's the other guy's para, was just loaned to their father. Are they fully responsible? No. Somewhat, yeah, but not fully responsible. Mishalman de Mebasa Brazil. They have to pay, you know, the price of meat, the low market price, but not full price. Haneach lena vienach reis nechasim. Let's say their father left over some, you know, properties, which you know, are there to secure his financial obligations. In this case, chayav l'shalom. Since father left over some properties, they have to use those properties, sell off the properties, and pay the value of this shur, of this parah. Now, we had two cases in the halacha. We had the animal died, so the b'raisa says they're potter, or they did the shchit on the animal, and the b'raisa there too says they don't have to pay full value. Now this last stipulation, if there is some properties left behind, then they are fully obligated. What's it going on? The case where the animal died, or the case where they did shchita today? Ikad masla ratio. Some applied it to the first case, where the animal died. So typically they're potter. Not our business. We didn't assume responsibility. Oh, but if there are properties to back up our father's obligations, we have to use those properties to repay. Ikad masla seifa. Others applied it to the next case. They did the shchit on the animal. They enjoyed it. Father should have, you know, indicated to them prior to his death that this is a loaned animal. In this case, if father left behind property, they must use it to repay fully what they took. So two ways to learn this halach. Now, man the masnla resha, the one that applied this halach of the nechasim to the first case, which is where the animal just happened to die. Typically, they're potter, because look, we're sons. We didn't accept upon ourselves any responsibility for this animal. But if the father left over in the chasim, they have to use that to repay. Now, there's a chiddush here. Because the fact is, when did the animal die? When did the oinus, when did the accident happen? When did the mishap occur? After the father died. Right? So why would the father's nechasim need to be used to repay his obligation? There was no obligation during his lifetime. He borrowed a parah, perfectly fine. He passed away. He's safe. Later on, after his passing, the parah died. So the kids are not responsible. We didn't accept upon ourselves any responsibility. Father's not responsible. The event took place after his death. But if we learn that his nechasim will be used, will be applied to repay for the animal, that's a chiddush. And it's not going to be like Rav Papa. Rav Papa just told us a minute ago that when a fellow borrows an animal and something occurs, the chiv is triggered right now, not retroactive to the time of taking. To when I accepted the animal. No, it's going forward from the time of Oinus. This halacha seems to contradict Rav Papa. So man de masla resha, the one that applied the halacha, that when the father left over nechasim, it's applied towards the chiv, even on the resha where it just happened to die if there is death. Kloshkin and Seifa, of course it would apply to the next case, where they did the shechita, and he should have told them before his death. So now, when he has some nechasim left over, that must be applied in order to repay this obligation in full. Upliga the Rapapa. This is in dispute. This is inconsistent with Rapapa, as we just explained, because the fact that we hold father or father's properties accountable, we apply it towards the Zechiv to repay for the para that passed away after his death. That's not like Rapapa. Because Rapapa, oh, the Zechiv only occurs at the time of passing, at the time of oinus. It's not retroactive to the time of acceptance of the para. But according to the other version of events, the one that applied this halacha, which halacha? The halacha which says that the father left over property, it's applied towards the schiv, applied only in the last case of the sefer, where the, you know, the children actually did the shechita due to father's negligence, due to the fact he never told them otherwise. Okay, so that's specific to that case, avala reisha loy, but not the first case, where they were using this para, and suddenly he died. The para died. In that case, why would anybody be responsible? Children not responsible. We didn't accept upon ourselves any responsibility for this para. And father's not responsible because the mishap occurred after his death. Find the Rav Papa. It's exactly like Rav Papa, who says that the chiv only happens from the moment of oinus onward, which was after his passing. Now let's go back to the beginning of the sukkah. Let's backtrack a few days. We have a Mishnah in our parak. Elu naru yishesh lam knas. If one interacts with a naru, forcefully, he has to pay a fine. We had a Mishnah Maseches Makis, which says that he gets malchus. So we had several ways to reconcile. We had Ula, we had Rabbi Yechanan, we had Rish Lakish. So we're going to focus on Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish right now. Rabbi Yechanan said, look, typically, if you get malchus, you don't get mamon. It's incompatible. You only get one punishment at a time. The Mishnah Ksubas that he pays is speaking, there was no hasra. He wasn't warned that he's going to get malchus. So he's not malchus. There's no malchus. Let him pay. The Mishnah Maseches Makis is speaking, there was hasra. He was warned beforehand. You're going to get malchus. So in that case, he gets lashed and no mamon. So we're going with Shitas Rabbanon. There are no double punishments. If there's malchus, the mamon conversion, malchus overshadows the mamon. Again, our Mishnah where he pays is speaking, there was no malchus, he wasn't warned. Mishnah in Maseches Makis is speaking, he was warned, and therefore he gets malchus. We understand Rabbi Yechanan chose his approach in explaining the two Mishnahs, not like Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish adopted a different approach. At the end of yesterday's daf, Rosh Lakish tells us, no, our Mishnah Malkus is speaking in accordance with Shitas Rabbi Meir, that says you can get Malkus and Mamin together, double punishment's okay, when it's Malkus and Mamin. And that's how he explained the sugya. Both are applied. And that's why by us you get penalized financially, even though you're getting Malkus. Rabbi Yechanan didn't like that approach. Because he interpreted the Mishnah like the Rabbanan. Because unlike Rabbi Meir says you can get Malkus and Mamin, Rabbanan disagree. And he wanted to go with Shitas Rabbanan, the Rabbim. If you get Malkus, you don't get Mamin. So he learned differently. Our Mishnah, where you pay, is speaking, there's no Malkus, because he wasn't warned. Ela Rish Lakish, my time of Amak Rabbi Yechanan. But why did Rish Lakish choose his approach? Established a mission like Rabbi Meir, which is a das yachid, individual opinion. Why didn't he go with Rabbi Yechanan, which is the consensus? Amalach. Rabbi Yechanan, Rish Lakish explains like this. You know why I didn't want to go with Rabbi Yechanan? Who said that if you get Malkus, you're putter from Mamin. But our Mishnah speaking, he wasn't warned, therefore he doesn't get Malkus. Doesn't matter. If there's a potential for Malkus, then he's putter from Mamin. Even if in reality he wasn't warned, he's not going to get lashed. Doesn't matter. This act, this offense, carries within it a potential malchus that exempts you from mumming. Amalach, even the ilu astrave pater. Suppose he would have been warned, and he would have gotten malchus. Then of course he would not be paying, right? If so, it makes no difference. Kiloy astrave nami pater. Even if he wasn't actually warned, and he's not going to get the malchus. This is a malchus carrying offense. There's no chiv mum. And in fact, Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish, who have this discussion here, whether a potential malchus, an offense which carries a potential malchus, even if it's not actually realized in reality. The question is whether this carries mamain with it as well. Rabbi Yechon says, there is mamain, there's no malchus, there is mamain. Rosh Lakish says, there could be malchus, and therefore there is no mamain. Odlo Tamayu is consistent with their shita elsewhere, where we find this discussion. The Chiyas Rav Dimi. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar, he said, Chayavim Misa Shegigin. If a fellow committed an offense which can potentially have him face a Chiyav Misa, but he did it b'shegig. There was no Chiyav Misa practically. Or a Chayavim Malki Shegigin, a case where he did something which generates Malkus, but it was b'shegig, so he's practically not going to get the Malkus. V'davar Acher, and that act came along with another offense, a monetary offense. So it's enwrapped together, a chi of Misa and a chi of Mammon, or a chi of Malkus and a chi of Mammon. But the fact is, he's not going to have Misa and Malkus because it was b'shoigig. Does he have to pay or not? Rabbi Yechon Amar Chayer, of course he's Chayer. Fact is, I'm only applying one punishment. Rish Lakish Amar Potter, he doesn't have to pay. Rabbi Yechon Amar Chayer, he has to pay. The Loi Ashrabi, he wasn't warned, it was b'shoigig. There's no Malkus, of course he has to pay. Rish Lakish Amar Potter, no, he doesn't have to pay. Kivon di Ilu Ashrabi Potter. Since, theoretically, if they would have warned him, and he would have gotten Malkus, that would exempt him from Mamin. Therefore, here as well, Kilei Ashrubei, Nami Pot, even if he wasn't actually warned, he's not going to get actual Malkus. This is a Malkus carrying offense, in which case, he's Potter from Mamin. So this is pretty much, there are Machlekes in our Sugi as well. Okay, let's quickly recap today's daf. We had a Braisa, a daf stole and actually did Shechita, he was Tavach, is he Chayiv Dalet Vehi or not? Rameir says yes, Shacham is saying no. The Gemara explains, pertaining to Shabbos and Avodah Zarah, even though there was a Chayiv Misa involved, but he did it on Yedei Shliach, he's not Chayiv Misa. And therefore he's Chayiv Mamon. Or according to Rabbah, since the Chayiv Avdal Vehe is a Knas, that gets triggered even when there's a Chayiv Misa. Unlike Chayiv Mamon, which is incompatible with Chayiv Misa. We had a question regarding Avodah Zarah. Isn't it Asr Bahno? As soon as he starts the Shechita, no longer belongs to its owner going forward. The answer is he made a Tanai, a condition, I'm only worshipping at the end of the Shechita. Sharon Iskel, condemned to death, it's worthless. No, he took it from the Shemer's home, and it has some value for the Shemer because he can use it to return it to the owner. Regarding Chachamim, by the Zara, Sharon Iskel is Pater because they're valueless. They're Asr Bahachila, and the Shechita is not creating Heter Achila, and therefore, it's not considered a halachic shechita regarding dalad vehei, regarding a shechita on Shabbos. Well, if you say animal shechita on Shabbos is asur min ha-tira, well, that's also called shechita she'ena ru'uya, and therefore he's potter from dalad vehei. But if you hold that it's mutter min ha-tira, Chachamim would agree that in the case of Shabbos, yes, it's a halachic shechita and considered for dalad vehei. Okay, turning to daf, we had a case where he did the gneiva and the tvicha in the tunnel or on Shabbos. Or it was something borrowed to him, loaned to him, and he did the Shechita on Shabbos. So here again, he's doing the Gneva with the Tvich on Shabbos itself, because the Chiv only happens, you know, at the moment of Oynes, rather than retroactive. That's Rapapa's Chiddush. In all these cases, it's totally Potter, because it's coming together with the Chiv Misa, which exempts it from all Chiv Mamim. A father left behind a Parah, they can use it until the end of the term. If an Oynes occurs, they're Potter. If they did Tvicha mistakenly, they have to pay, like, you know, low value rate. What if the file left over in a chasim, properties to back up his, to be applied to his obligations? So we have two versions of the Gemara. Either it obligates the chasim in the case of the oinus, which actually doesn't work like Rav Papa, because then it seems from here that indeed the chiyav of oinus is retroactive to when the father accepted it. Or it's going only on the second case where they did the tficha. In that case, since they damaged the parah, and there is nechassim from the father, they have to repay using the father's nechassim. Now, according to Shittas Rabbanon, when there's a chi of Malkus and Mamin, Malkus overshadows the Mamin, he gets lashed, no Mamin. What if the Masa that he did carries a potential Malkus, but not an actuality, because he wasn't warned in this case? So Rabbi Yechon says, he'll pay the Mamin. We look at the practical aspect of things, Rish Lakish says. He's potter from Mamin, because after all, this is a Masa that identifies with Malkus, and when there's Malkus, there is no Mamin. All the best to you and much aslacha.